Are y'all all not from here?
None of us in the band are from here.
There's six guys in the band. Connecticut, Manhattan, Westchester, New York, Ohio, D.C., and also and all of us except for Dave, the singer, went to either Tulane or Loyola for school.
How'd y'all first come together? Like,
well, we were in school, and Dave had just moved down here with his with a former girlfriend because their friend was going to Tulane Law, and he wanted to try something new. And he happened to be just playing his guitar on his porch, and Zach, our guitar player, happened to be riding his bike by. And he was just like, hey, man, that sounds pretty cool. And then that's kind of the infancy of what we're doing. And then after that, Zach and our drummer Andrew were at the Tibbetina's workshops. They met each other, so they formed a little band. Their next summer, their bass player went out of town, so I filled in, eventually came right in. We had Rob sitting on a couple tunes, and then we realized we needed his sound. And then recently, kind of had with their newest member, Ed, who plays pedal steel for us. He was like the same thing with Rob.
Ed Steele Williams.
Make sure you emphasize on the steel.
Right. I mean, with so many members adding on, has that really advanced your sound? I mean,
it's created more of a wall of sound. I feel like live, we can have it go from like a 1 to a 10 very easily. Mm-hmm. And we'd like to be at 10 a lot dynamically. In terms of like building, like there's just more layers and stuff you can add. When you do like a solo section, it can be done with like three pieces and stuff. I just feel like it's our sound. It'd be like just that wall.
I really like the dichotomy between simple and complex. Mm-hmm. And I think when you meld the two together, you know, a lot of times, you know, the same song, the same, you know, sect of songs, you know, it adds a lot to the atmosphere and, you know, the whole ambience of the show. You know, you can take people one place, you know, in their mind, and then you can slowly, gradually bring them up, and you can completely drop them off the cliff. Mm-hmm. And then slowly bring them up again. So, you know, I mean, you can do that with, you know, one or two musicians, but I think, you know, when you have that fuller sound, it's more dramatic and mm-hmm. maybe symphonic.
Also, and I think it's cool that it's different kinds of voices too. It's not just like, you know, it's not just like three or four guitarists. It's
right.
It's a bunch of different timbres, so we can mess around with that too. Like you can say, well, this is kind of a cool melody line, but maybe it doesn't sound as good as a horn. Let's put it on like a pedal steel, have them kind of wow, wow, wow it out.
We have six dudes, well, first of all, playing different instruments for the most part with all different styles. It allows to have a lot of different textures and, I guess, uniqueness to the sound, because with four individuals, there's only so many things you can do without, at least in a live section, without like overdubbing and stuff. When we have six of us, it's easier to like bring in different like little tchotchkes and knickknacks within songs and stuff like that.
You like being able to have that kind of texture in your sound?
Well, we were talking about just the other day how there's so many different, like if you listen to the album, I guess it's not very cohesive, but it shows like a lot of different realms and where it can go, and I think that's good. I'd rather, it's better to just have the potential to keep it fresh consistently. That way it doesn't get boring, it doesn't get old, rather than it's just like the same stuff all the time. Where like Zach like just bought a banjo, so we're probably gonna do some like maybe like folkier kind of stuff, but also Dave just bought like a sick like keyboard that can do some like some crazy like 8-bit like early like Mike Tyson punch out noise, like the like,
yeah, so like
from like
space.
I actually thought about it. I want to figure out how to do some kind of like Beck mindfuck thing where we incorporate like the banjo with the electronic.
You don't see enough banjotronica out there
unless Bela's doing it.
He probably beat y'all to it.
I'd love to hear some banjo work with some kind of like electric four on the floor kind of like padded stuff.
Yeah,
with like a cool like just like hypnotic banjo line.
One of those like organ kind of bass line, like.
And also, I think another thing we need is to have, because Rob is a really great sax player, he can actually utilize that and do a lot of different tones. We need to get him some crazy pedals and like scare it.
Trying to explore some of that area.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can make that instrument sound like anything as long as you can plug it in and have different stuff.
Yeah, we messed around with that a bit on the album at the end of it. Don't Get Caught Up. Mm-hmm. It's like, We took the sax track, and I think we ended up burning it onto a CD, and then Zach took it in his laptop through, like, GarageBand, maybe? What did he put, like, a phaser and a tremolo on it?
Just stuff you could use through a guitar, but you...
Because
at first, before the guitar came out, the sax was, like, that lead instrument.
And, like, a lot of 50s.
Yeah, where, the brasses...
Domino or,
the brasses were more of, like... the backbone.
Sax was like the Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Right. And soon, very, very soon coming, it's going to be a secret weapon which I'm going to soon unveil on the band.
Oh, right. I think
I will tell you guys what it's all about.
It's the one you were talking about last night.
Yes. Okay. Premise of this instrument. The backbone of this instrument is you need a slide whistle.
Okay.
Need some kind of cheap blower for blows.
Like a leaf blower?
Yeah,
or like
leaf
what?
Blower, but something smaller. I don't know where you get it, really.
You use a lot of Kentucky Chrome, which is duct tape.
Kentucky Chrome, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, you got your slide whistle. You get your mini blower. You duct tape a tube around the tip, tip end of the blower. Then you duct tape the tube into the mouthpiece of the whistle. So now you've got a constant airflow into the freaking whistle. So, you plug it in. It just starts blowing. Now you can just move the little whistle slide up and down like a theremin.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
exactly. Like an analog theremin.
Yeah, that'd be sick. Yeah.
So, you're gonna be hearing that here.
That would look
on the next stuff.
I'll see you think about live.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, just soloing out on it. Yeah.
Killing it.
Because if you think about it, almost everything has been done in a live setting.
I've never seen anyone do that.
We'd have to try very hard.
You people out there.
Right.
Yeah, we all have to try very hard to resist the temptation
to
work the slide whistle up and down in a way that simulates masturbation.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, there's going to be a viral video coming out.
Thank God for the YouTubes, right?
Nice little spin on that situation.
Yeah, George, Dave and I decided we're going to get a bunch of spike and go to the log cabin in the bayou.
I'm very caffeine sensitive.
Okay, you don't have to take the spike. We'll
split
one. We're going to go split one. Yeah. We're going to make a bunch of viral videos.
That seems to be the most legitimate way to break out these days. If it worked for fucking Keyboard Cat or whatever, it can work for you. I mean, shit, he was a beast, dude.
Yeah,
I mean,
Keyboard Cat's touring Europe.
Where'd y'all play your first gig in NOLA?
We played our first gig as a band at this place called Checkpoint Charlie.
Okay.
The weekend before, it was just me and Zach. 7 in the morning, and we met our bass player at 5 in the morning that night.
You're in the band.
He just walked into Checkpoint Charlie, and we're just Chris. His name was Chris, and I couldn't for the life of you remember his last name, but I have it in my phone is Chris Bass, so that's what we refer to him as is Chris Bass. Came to show, we'd already had Campy, but he couldn't make that first gig or whatever. So the next weekend we played Checkpoint Charlie.
That's cool.
Sweet.
Nice.
It's fun.
Do you have a favorite show y'all have played?
I think mine was the ethical fashion throwback at the Republic that we did this February.
Crushed that shit.
Yeah, it was
I better say so myself.
Jordan, how many people was it through the door?
There was probably over
600, something like that.
There's probably 1,000 people there at least.
We debuted our Eminem cover.
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Eminem. Well, it's an Eminem cover for me because I do that part. Yeah, I've been doing Forgot About Dre. That was just a lot of fun.
Setting
that's sick.
Can be favorite, your what you like is in terms of favorite gig, but sometimes, I don't know, you can just tell when you get off that you absolutely
destroyed it.
Great. Cool. We've done a couple tips gigs where we've done that, but at the same time, we've done a couple tips gigs that were shit. Like, yeah. Hopefully the favorite gig will be Jazz Fest.
Right.
Crush that.
Is this going to be y'all's first time playing Jazz Fest?
Yeah.
Technically, I've played Jazz Fest before with the Tulane Jazz Orchestra, but I don't know if that counts.
No, it does.
It's going to be fun. It's definitely going to be a good thing to put on the press kit, for sure.
Right.
And I guess, hopefully the goal is next year to move up a time slot. I think that's, the realistic goal is, okay, this is our third Crawfest,
right?
Yeah.
And, we've moved up a time slot every year. If we can just keep perpetuating that and hopefully 5 years from now be headlining it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
cool.
Stuff like that. Or hopefully this year get on... This upcoming summer, get on a couple festivals and just do the same thing there, create enough of a buzz or an impact to where they want us to come and they want us to progress and just believe in the band when it comes down to it.
Is that kind of how y'all gauge success?
I don't know really.
There's two ways to go about it. There's ways of like successes in like making more money at like these like shows we do on the beach, or it's where we go to towns and there may only be 20 kids there, but they all know our songs, where a year ago no one knew who we were, but it's worth it, the fact that we're driving to these places and these kids are coming out to see us and know who we are.
Yeah, or things like that Lexington gig that we did in December, where, I mean, we'd never been in this town before, nobody had any idea who we were or where we were from. It was just lucky we happened to book a gig at a place where people just know there's live music and show up, and they just had a really great time. I think to me a lot of success is about making a good impression in somewhere you've never been before.
We do that very well.
We got to get all those footholds.
I guess one thing we're good at, we're all pretty personable, and I've never really met any other bands that are huge assholes, but apparently they're out there.
Yeah.
But we're really good at making impression on the staff of venues. We're like for instance, we just played a gig in Baton Rouge. Some guys like, I'm here all the fucking time, and all these bands usually suck, and it's so good to hear like a local band that's actually well. Or like,
yeah, that's actually one we get a lot, is the guy from the staff who's like, we don't usually like.
Or like a guy who's in charge of a green room in Atlanta who's like, you guys opened up this show, but you definitely should have been the headliner. Like stuff like that that just makes you feel like you're doing what you're doing for a reason.
RT, he's always following us around.
Oh, yeah.
He's always banging the hot girls at the bar and making our band look good.
Nice, there you go, that's good, yeah.
RT is a ceramic duck.
I didn't know, man.
We put him on a stool with a microphone and a little whiskey, a little duck-sized whiskey at a show one time.
Yeah.
Give him a brief solo.
Consists of giving him a mic, looking at him and going, "Quack."
Me, I have certain levels of success. Obviously, I believe all of us, I think this is unanimous, success would be not having to have jobs and being completely professional. Then there, after that, the next thing would be like having people recognize you as a musician, where they feel it's important enough for you to give them to give you your gear, because they know people are watching you playing.
Right.
So sponsorship. And then after that, it's like having guys carry your shit on stage for you.
Right.
And then after that, it's going to a town you've never been to before, and there are people there who know all the words to your songs, and are like, "That's Rob," which happens to bands all the time. Just it's a natural progression. It takes making it for a career. I feel like a lot of these young bands, like we were talking about last night, me, Mike, and Brett, like I don't think they look at like the career aspect, as they're just like in a band having fun, trying to like see how big it gets, instead of like really trying to like lay out some guidelines and understand that it takes a lot of fucking hard work. There's no such thing as luck. Luck is just like preparation and like opportunity being exposed at like the right time and taking advantage of it. That's what I think. I don't think luck exists really. If you think about it, there are so many amazing bands out there that we never will hear of, just because like, I guess like
of like timing.
Timing is one thing. It's just like hard work and just like,
there's so much more perseverance than having fun.
All right, think about it, like, you talking about Galactic before.
It's a lot.
There's so many other bands here that I personally think are better than Galactic, but Galactic, like, just has their shit on lockdown.
Right.
They were sleeping on couches and, like, touring, like, Colorado and stuff, when all these other bands are like, we're making great money in New Orleans, why would we ever leave?
Right. They were able to tap into the jam band scene and, like, they happen to be a New Orleans funk band.
And now, like, I feel like Dumpster Funk is trying to do that now, when, like, they could have been doing that.
Dumpster Funk is better than Galactic. Yeah. I mean, if you've seen them, you know.
I don't even think, like, with that whole scene, it's not even about marketability and, like, if these dudes look cool, because it's all about the music.
Right.
And it's, like, that's where you have to have your business shit on lockdown. Like, the talent and the music is a given. Everybody has talent. Everybody can play. But you have to have all those other elements just as good as your music. The thing right now is we're trying to start to go on, like, more expansive tours, because if we don't, we're just kind of spinning in circles. We have to branch out, because if you stay in this little bubble, like, sure, this is cool. It'd be cool to be, like, a giant New Orleans band, but it'd be much better to be able to, like, have a career out of it, you know?
Giant USA band.
America's band, yeah. Exactly. Revivalist America's band, you
know? I think that next step comes from the buzz and word of mouth where it's always been there, but out of nowhere it just kind of like latches on. Take like that band Givers, who like I've always heard of them, but like for some reason like 4 or 5 months ago, like they just had this like huge buzz generating off them. I guess you kind of like got to put that in your pocket and like roll with it when that opportunity comes.
How would y'all describe your sound? I mean, because you do have a lot going on.
I believe it's the coin term is cosmic funky rockerton.
Yes.
Ever want to hear like five guys sound like douchebags? Ask them what their band sounds like.
It's nobody likes to say, you know, we're just a rock band.
I think that goes back to our advantage is that we have the opportunity and the capability to go in so many different ways, or just
that's
more accessible.
The opportunity to be like whatever kind of band.
Because we have so many different elements and everybody listens to so much different shit.
We're highway rock.
You gotta have every exit.
Y'all have a favorite city to play outside of New Orleans?
I love Lafayette. I mean, it's not
really
too far.
Cool to us there. They like us a lot.
We got a lot of friends in Lafayette.
Yeah, Hattiesburg is a great place.
I think Pensacola, we're going to be doing very well there.
Yeah.
In terms of money, we do really well there because it's just like a beach town. But
yeah,
in terms of
$5,000 a gig there.
$1 billion.
$5,000.
I bought a
but
car.
I think it's like our whole thing is we need to like build up 10 or 12 markets in the southeast and get to a point where we get on a booking agency and then they know you can pull in these markets, so they flip-flop you with a band, say, who you complement each other with. The Northeast, it's doing the same thing, and you just go on runs with them. It's like matches made in heaven.
Yeah.
Like 311 and Incubus used to do that before they like blew up, because they're like, one was from like Omaha and one was from California. Like, we're not the same, but I think our fans would both appreciate us, and then they did the tour, and like people were going nuts.
People who are out to see Incubus will see 311 and be like, who are these guys? That was cool.
You tweet about sandwiches a lot. You really do. That's like the core of your tweets.
That's why he invented it, to kind of like
mock
the whole Twitter aspect.
Yeah, the purpose of me getting onto Twitter was to do it ironically and stupidly.
Right.
And it's been becoming less and less ironic and more a part of me, and I'm kind of worried about that.
How do y'all feel the like social stuff, like work, does it help promote your band? Do you feel it?
That's stuff we're trying to get in more. I feel like the thing with the Twitter and stuff, you can't just have people reading your Twitter like, hey, it's a show, come see a show. You have to have people want to just read it because they want to know what's going on. And I've realized like a lot of bigger bands, if they have like their member on Facebook, you just have some kind of connection that, because you can't physically go up and see them every time, but like if they happen to respond to your comment, or like you go see them in the show and you tag their photo and like they say something about it, it's just like that you can create kind of a connection that can't happen.
That's one thing I've been trying to do with like with my Twitter and the blog is kind of bring people in, sort of share all of our idiotic inside jokes and, you know, the stupid crap that we kick around to kind of try to make people feel like they're a part of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, like you go here, they always talk about like evangelists, like you have to have people be evangelists for your music. Like,
right.
We're in South By. I was surprised to hear so many shitty bands.
I'm sure.
Fucking like, I feel like it sounds obnoxious, but I heard genres of music where I don't listen to, and I'd see a band like, these guys are fucking terrible, and the only reason I know that is because 2 days ago, I saw a band do that was definitely professional and on their shit. You know what I mean? It was stuff like that. I was talking to like some of the industry dudes there. South By now doesn't make a band. It only builds momentum. You know what I mean? Unless, like, I was going to bring up the story with Newgrass. They're playing their set, and some random dude just happens to walk into the bar to take a piss, and he starts listening to them. Like, long story short, this guy owned the management company that did the Dixie Chicks, and the shit that Newgrass does right now is, like, huge overseas.
Right.
So he started texting all of his, like, fucking lawyer buddies, and he's like, these kids are fucking 19, like, we gotta get them.
What?
And he was like, if I had these guys here for 10 more minutes, I would have had these dudes sign, and we'd have fucking, like, handshake been doing this shit like that.
That's insane.
So that's what's cool about South By. It's shorts and sandals business handshake, not like we're gonna sit in a board meeting with our lawyers and like discuss.
Like,
it's like
shabby.
I know I'm a baller, you're a baller, let's make this happen. Let's make some money, you know. It was fun though. Like, there's so much music everywhere.
Do you feel like it's oversaturated?
It is, because I found out there are a lot of places where bands get showcases and people form bands just because they hear their they can play at South by Southwest.
Okay, that's stupid.
Well, what's also cool is that we did like a New Orleans showcase. There was a Nashville showcase. There's
that's cool.
I saw somebody, there's a Kansas City showcase. Uh-huh. There's like a showcase from Sweden, Ireland, Scotland, England, like where like the government will pay for these bands' visas to come over and like show what their music's all about.
In other countries, they actually care about the arts.
Canada will give you like $100,000 to just get better at music.
Rob, unfortunately, didn't get to go to South by. Hopefully, we'll have the full six. That was another thing, too. I was like, people were like, man, we really enjoyed your show. I was like, dude, this isn't even like, this is 4 out of 6 of what we can play. Hopefully, next year, I think if we can get an actual showcase, like a BMI or like a sanctioned South by showcase, that would be good. But like, at the same time, that's not going to prevent us from doing what we're trying to do. We're not going to be pissed off if it doesn't happen. But
right.
I still think it doesn't work in a lot of bands' ethoses to actually go and do South by. For us, I feel like it is.
Yeah.
And it's just fucking great time, man. It's like summer camp for bands, man. Weather's great, beautiful women everywhere, just chilling, drinking beer. Mm-hmm. So
singing songs.
It's like the festival.
We had a freaking great jam session with this band, High Tide Blues, on a late night. Probably happened about 4 o'clock in the morning, and we were all just sitting around.
Everybody played one of their songs, and everybody else would jam on it. This goes back to like the idea of taking like bands from different areas and touring together. One of our manager's buddies, who does a lot of booking, was saying the new thing they're talking about South by for bands to do is like almost do mixtapes, where you have like a buddy band, and you do like first you do like a 3-song EP, where like one song is just complete culmination of both bands like playing together and playing like a sweet ass song, and the other two is like, you cover that band's song, you do your style, and they cover one of your songs, you do it their style. You know what I'm saying? So it would be like, we would do like a Newgrass song in a revivalist manner, and Newgrass would do a revivalist song, and be like, okay, we like this band, they like this band, they gotta be cool, I'm at least gonna check them out. And
I don't get the idea that we're not all on the same team, you know?
Do you feel that New Orleans does have a different sense of musical community than other places? Or?
There's a mutual respect for each other that I feel like you kind of, in a competitive manner, are pushing each other inadvertently to do better just because it's like, I don't want to say it's like you're tic-tacking each other, but it's kind of like this healthy competition where like, you see what one band does, and you're like, okay, we kind of got to step our shit up. Or not because of the fact that it's like an envy or a jealousy thing. It's just like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like just, you're competing, but you want the other guys to win too.
Yeah,
exactly. Because if you think about it now, if one band wins in New Orleans, the chances are more bands will win.
It's like you were saying earlier, you know, it's like the floodgates.
All it takes is one to
Hopefully
do it.
The goal is that,
and it'll open.
In the next 3 to 5 years, bands will be moving to Orleans because they know there's a scene here. It's like the Brooklyn, the Williamsburg, or like Portland, or like a Seattle, or like an Athens, where we still have our tradition, but we have this whole new sector that like just gonna come out of nowhere, and like we won't realize that it's happened before you're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, we've been here this whole time.
Right.
Hopefully it's starting to happen.
Yeah, it seems like things are tipping. I'm like, that's what I thought about Faubourg, too. The fact that it went down, that's a great example of
and
the right thing
like
happening.
90% of the 95% of those bands were from New Orleans, if not Louisiana.
Right.
So
I mean, yeah, it's like it was a local thing.
And most of like, and the bands were had enough talent, like they found enough talent to put on and be like, okay, this is Faubourg, this is what we're showing. They weren't, it wasn't like, we're going to just have these bands for the sake of having bands, like, because their name was attached to it, too.
Right.
You can't just have a festival with all these New Orleans bands and just throw on bands for the sake of having it that suck, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't see a bad set all weekend, and
yeah,
I was
band,
amazed.
Every band is doing their thing, you know?
Right.
The first time, and they just...
Where, as South By, that was a lot of, this band fucking sucks.
But at the same
very
time,
bluntly.
I mean, it's South By, it was... Was it like that because you'd see somebody who was, you know, just out of this world, and then the next night you'd be like, well, that wasn't those guys.
But it was also just the fact
I don't know, I'm asking.
There's just a lot of just amateur stuff when it comes down to it, just amateur versus professional, or at least striving to be professional. It's hard, like, you have to really experience it to be able to describe it to somebody, because it's tough. But like I said, I wouldn't know
a band was shitty until I saw another band doing the same thing that absolutely blew them out of the water.
Are there any bands you met there that you'd like to tour with?
I don't necessarily tour with, but we saw this guy, David Vanderveld, who is probably my favorite act we saw at the Park the Van. Just seeing stuff you've never heard of and being like, this is awesome. We were eating at Stubbs, getting barbecue, and there was this sick Berkeley hip-hop band who had me playing downstairs. Mm-hmm. Like, and the only reason there is because we were getting ribs, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. That's what's cool about South Park. Mm-hmm.
What do y'all feel are the biggest misconceptions about the New Orleans music scene?
People think that it's all Dixieland. Mm-hmm. Like, people get from out of town and they think it's all just, you know, clarinet and a banjo. And I mean, that stuff's great, but I mean, there's just so much more to it. And even now, like, the contemporary guys who are kind of running the scene, they're like, there's still a lot of traditional stuff, but a lot of the real heavy hitters, even on the jazz side, are leaning towards the more kind of modern, funky sound, I think. Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, the smaller, like, if you think about it, even, like the Indie Rock Collective, like, they're not upset, but they're kind of, like, that doesn't necessarily shun stuff away. Indie is so broad right now. New Orleans up-and-coming music just doesn't roll off the tongue.
And you can say New Orleans music, but I mean that's just always going to mean just always going to mean like jazz and brass bands.
What, funk?
Yeah, when we were talking about measures for success, I think you know you've really made it when you can make
rock opera.
When you can make a concept album and people take it seriously. It's either you don't take yourself seriously at all, or you take yourself way too seriously. Yeah.
In my opinion, it's more of like, can we actually fucking pull this off?
Right? Can this be done?
Yeah. Nothing against Glasgow.
No.
For back, because those guys are serious musicians.
No, they don't mess around.
Go into that a whole new thing. That's what I think right now is separating our scene, is that like everybody knows how to play their shit.
There's no shortage of talent. It's like a maximum of talent.
It's almost hard not to be good in this city, just because like if you try to not be a good musician and do music stuff, it's just going to be embarrassing. Anytime you're playing anywhere, like the odds are somebody can go a block over. Mm-hmm. And like find a better show.
I think if you suck in New Orleans, you'll be destroyed.
Yeah.
Like fans will like eat you alive. Like, or they just won't go, and you'll be like, bye.
You can
you're
only
done.
Have your friends come out for so many shows if you suck.
Right.
And it gets to the point even where if you're not pulling great numbers, like there are a handful of people there to see you because they actually respect what you're doing.
Who do y'all think is going to be the first band to break besides yourself? I mean, like, what do y'all think is going to be?
Definitely be John Michael.
Yeah, I mean John Michael.
Yeah. I would say so too. I think they're really pushing for it. Yeah. Like a lot of bands died to create that band.
Like I said, the town is given with that band. They have the right people behind them. They're like the local hero band.
They have a relentless work ethic.
Their advantage is like they're all from here and they can have that built behind them. Where I think our advantage is none of us are from here. They don't have that ability to all play our hometowns and have an insanely profitable tour.
Do y'all listen to a lot of the same music, just like a wide range of stuff? What are y'all's common ground in terms of what y'all listen to?
Usually, like, when we're in the van listening to stuff, very rarely will it be like someone turn that shit off. What have we been listening to?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're all into a lot of different kind of stuff.
Y'all have a favorite place to play in New Orleans?
Tips is great. We love Tips just because of the history. We want to get back into One Eye Jacks as the sound there is just like, it's top notch. And the room itself is great. Got to throw in a little Howlin' Wolf too because they kind of manage us.
Stu's the man.
I like playing throwbacks.
Throwbacks.
Really? So why? What do you like playing them?
I don't know. It's just a fun night.
It's cool there.
Well, I mean, they treat you pretty good at Republic, and there's usually a good crowd that'll go to the throwback anyway. It's like your fans, and then there are people who are there for throwback night.
Right.
And you're always kind of pushed to do something different. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I just think it's a fun atmosphere there.
How does your songwriting process work?
It's pretty complex. Like, I mean, it comes from all different avenues. Like, we all write, whether somebody writes a part, or somebody writes an entire song, brings it to the band, or just in the practice space,
jam,
you know, vibing on a certain riff, or a certain, you know, a certain idea, you know, like, well, we want this to be kind of ethereal, just kind of floaty, you know, we'll just start playing floaty stuff, you know, so this is kind of... Everybody contributes in their own way.
I think it would be not in our best interest to try and mold like a specific, this is how we're going to write, this is how it has to be done, because you kind of close off creative avenues by doing that.
Yeah, I believe in letting the song be the song. Yeah. You know, instead of saying we're trying to make this, saying, like finding out what that song already was.
I do think, though, however, you were still very young, you know, so we really... say that they're will ever be a certain process or formula.
I think it's mostly, for us, it's mostly about experimenting.
Yeah.
You know, once we get an overall kind of, hey, we're trying to get from A to B like this, then it'll be like, well, what if we throw something in here that kind of throws it off a little? You know, it's just, well, I don't think that's going to work. I think that's going to work. Just fucking try it, you know?